Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Some of the banks in Nigeria, there is absolute destruction and rioting that is taking place. People are having their wealth basically frozen by the possible incompetence, I would say likely incompetence, or the plotting of the Nigerian Central Bank, the Nigerian government. We'll tell you more about that coming up here. It's Ian, Jay, and Matt joining you tonight. The number 603-283-6160. Let's go first, though, to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Sarah.
Oh, I just found out that the New Mexico Brain Center is going to do a fundraiser golf tournament. So
the what center?
The New Mexico Dream Center.
The Dream Center?
Well, it's a youth center that helps the human trafficking victims.
Okay.
So they're going to do a golf tournament to raise funds. So,
and awareness, I would hope, because, something like 800,000 kids in 2021 got reported, like, missing. In the United States. And then there's all these, you know, migrant children that are going missing and not showing up, you know, and their parents aren't getting them. And, you know, Epstein Island was a real thing. And, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell's doing 20 years in prison for servicing a whole bunch of children to these clients, and we don't know who the clients are.
Apparently there was 2,000 pages of court documents released this week, but I don't know if the client list was in there. You'd think we would have seen it by now if it was included. And it
should be public information.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it was there.
But when you're a very powerful crime, you know, Biden family and whatnot,
Trump, Clinton, they all went down
sure.
there, right? Bill Gates, I think.
Yep.
And this is going after, not off the client list, but off of the list of people who flew on their the private jet.
The Lolita Express.
Yeah. Sarah, I don't know. So, I mean, I guess that's good news. But, of course, you continue to bring this topic up. Yet, at the same time, you don't seem to understand the benefit of legalizing sex work, legalizing prostitution, to ending or to at least significantly reducing human trafficking. Which it would. It wouldn't completely eliminate it, but it would definitely reduce it significantly. But you're not willing to do that. You want to keep seeing people put behind bars.
Well, you know, I'd rather do this golf tournament and raise funds so that when girls do need help and they wind up run away from their parents or the house when they leave their house when they're 13 or 15, they would have a safe place to go instead of being
not if they're in a prison cell.
Not if they were grabbed by Child Protective Services and then, you know, the federal government takes, you know, $6,000 to $8,000, you know, out of the Social Security account and gives it to the state, you know, Child Protective Services when they, you know, find a kid to take, and then they get an extra, you know, the federal government gets thousands of dollars per month to kids that are fostered to the state. And foster parents are getting like a third of that money, and they're like, "How come we're not getting all the money?" You know, the foster parents are getting like $1,200 to take care of a kid, and you know, the state's getting like $4,000 for the foster. Oh yeah, not to mention, I just found this out the other day. Do you know if you go through the state for child support, like you're a divorced mom, and you're like, "Oh, family court, please collect child support for my ex-husband," and let's say the ex-husband's ordered to pay $1,000 a month in almost every state in the country. I don't know about New York, but definitely Texas. For every dollar that Texas awards in child support, the state of Texas gets 66 cents from the federal government.
Wow.
So there's a major incentive for these states. And basically the guy, he was on Tim Pool's show a couple weeks ago talking about how his ex-wife is trying to transgender his son, who is now 10, and she moved to California. And this guy's been like a kind of a, I forget his name, an active, like, you know, conservative, mm-hmm. you know, speaking out against a lot of this stuff. And so, yeah, now the kid's like 10. He hasn't seen this kid in like a year and a half.
That's
awful. And the mother is trying to transgender him into a girl, and went to California because California offers all these, you know, protections and stuff. And the kid's like, I don't even want to be a girl. I don't know why mom's trying to do this. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Let's bring Major Payne on the line here in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. I hate to change the course of the river, but I want to talk about this train wreck down in Ohio.
Yeah, we've been covering it here on Free Talk Live. I think it got talked about a lot on Sunday and Wednesday nights this week. It's a pretty ugly situation, and it definitely deserves more coverage than it's getting. For listeners that aren't familiar, Major, can you kind of fill in people maybe just tuning in with what's happened down there?
Well, I saw aerial wreckage, and I got a property that's like an eighth of a mile deep. This train wreck would have took up my whole property. There was like, I don't know. I couldn't count them because it was too quick, but there was at least 75 cars sideways, burn up, and just charred. And the government claimed that there was like 3,500, 35,000 fish that they counted dead. But this is just one little dick trickle stream along the side of the tracks, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only one they monitored. And, of course, they killed that many fish.
Well, there's videos coming in on social media. I just saw one, I think just before the show, of a gentleman who is standing in a creek somewhere near East Palestine, I think is what they call it there in Ohio. And he just kind of, like, pushed a stick down into the water, and you could see all the colors of the rainbow show up in the water. People have been reporting their chickens are dying, their animals are ill and or dying, and it's ugly. And for listeners that don't know, what happened was this train derailed. It has a lot of chemicals on this train. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact. It's like one of them was, like, PVC. The predicate to PVC or something like that.
The one bad one, like, there was one that was, you know, when they burn it into the atmosphere, and when it comes into contact with water, it turns into hydrochloric acid.
Yeah, so acid rain.
Everybody's freaking out about that, but hydrochloric acid, okay, it's going to hit the ground. I've spilled hydrochloric on the ground before. Mm-hmm. It burns the grass for the year. It's dead. It burns right down to the dirt. And the next year, plantains start growing up. So
it's the polypropylenes, I think.
That's the other one, the other gas was phosgene. Now, phosgene is not natural. Like, there's no, it's not an organic gas. It's not found in nature at all. And that's scary to me, the phosgene gas.
Yeah, well, then they blew up, apparently. And apparently this is because it was better than the other alternative, supposedly, was actually igniting and or blowing up these tanks in some way. And so the amount of chemicals that was just exploding into the sky, there's like this mushroom cloud, not quite, but a humongous cloud of chemicals.
Plume? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said the plume. Yeah. I saw.
That's the word.
But all the wild canaries have died, and like you're saying, all the chickens are dying. And, the canary in the coal mine is the perfect example. They're not even in the coal mine, and they're dying.
Yeah, I think there's been some concern about the Ohio River becoming contaminated and then subsequently contaminating the Mississippi River, which it flows into, and then, of course, on down to the Gulf of Mexico, right?
So, and all the farms,
the farmland,
in that area that it's just they're going to have this stuff just falling on the ground.
That's bad.
And then so what happens is, like, milk cow, dairy cows, for example, anything toxic that dairy cows get goes right into the milk. Their body puts it right into the milk. This is why, like, you don't want to do a fast or, like, any kind of, like, extreme dieting when you're breastfeeding, because any of your fat cells where toxins were getting stored as you were putting fat on your body would get expelled in the breast milk, and it would, you know, hurt your baby. Well, it's the same thing for all these cows. So there's all kinds of dairy land. There's all kinds of feedlots. There's all kinds of farmland that goes corn and, you know, soybean and stuff that's growing all out there, wheat and rye and barleys, all kinds of grains that, you know, that's the grain belt. That's a good part of the grain belt. And then you got all that stuff floating, you know, some in western New York is a ton of farms. And then, you know, these guys all irrigate out of these. All these farms along the Ohio River, they irrigate out of the river. A lot of that water's diverted out of those rivers for all kinds of irrigation projects for agricultural land. Same thing with the Mississippi River. That's all, you know, so this is really going to impact a lot of farming. And I wouldn't be eating any cheese product that's, you know, made in Cincinnati, Ohio, for the next several years, because it's all coming from local dairies
or
around
Pennsylvania,
there.
As I understand it, the location of this is right near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border.
I used to go buy trailers.
Right,
what's that, Major?
You guys went right where I was going. That Dick Trickle Creek goes into the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. The Ohio River is the first main tributary of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about wiping us out, dude. They don't want any of us here.
Well, and there is one thing that's been happening, by the way. There's all these reports now on social media of, oh, my God, a train has derailed, and, what's happening? Well, apparently there's like 1,800 trains that derail in the United States every year, so the fact that trains are derailing isn't like some crazy conspiracy. It's just been going on for a long time. Now, maybe you could argue that they're not keeping the tracks up to standards, and maybe there's some sort of conspiracy there, but there's not, like, more trains derailing now this week than there were 2 weeks ago.
It's pretty interesting that there was a spill associated with this one, and the spill and the way the spill was, we'll say cared for, and by cared for, I mean the cops set the stuff on fire that was coming out of the thing, you know.
I don't know if it was the cops, but some...
Well, that's what I heard on the news. The police set the
authority
leak on fire. Yeah.
Evidently, there's video monitoring of these trains, mm-hmm. and there is conclusive evidence that there were sparks coming from one of the brakes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Cars.
Yep.
And they did not shut this damn thing down. The first report I heard is that it had been shut down for maintenance somewhere before the wreck, and I just talked to a buddy of mine who's a little bit more video-informed than I am, And he says it was never shut down. And this thing was, I mean, there's pictures of ball bearings on fire. Good God, what does it take to make a tungsten ball bearing?
it's like 4,000 degrees, I think, or something, isn't it? It's really hot.
Hell on the wheels there, boys. Hell on the wheels.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate that. And as this situation continues to develop, feel free to weigh in with your thoughts or whatever it is you're seeing. If you're still, unfortunately, in that area, I would hope a lot of people are getting the hell out, people that are nearby this.
I would be. I'd be relocating my family.
It's crazy.
You know, there's a Netflix movie that's called White Noise.
Heard about this.
That basically, you know, predicted this Ohio train.
And it was filmed in East Palestine, wasn't it?
No. Well,
that's what I heard.
I didn't read that in this article, but it's a New York Post article. Deadly Ohio train derailment eerily predicted on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the whole movie that was filmed there, but there was definitely an article that I saw about people in East Palestine that are featured in this film.
Wow. Okay. It's so weird when that stuff happens.
Yeah. Scenario 201, you know, 2019.
Life imitates art. So those life imitates art. You know, people say art imitates life. I
heard it away on that Amtrak's involved with this, and we know the government took over Amtrak a few years ago.
Oh no, it's been government for a long time.
What, 2 decades ago? You know, I don't know.
At least like 40 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so the government's taken over Amtrak. They're like, oh, something about Amtrak I heard, and you know, I think the railroads should be left to dealing with the railroads. Stop getting government involved, because when you get a bunch of government lackeys involved, the problem is all these guys that. You know, these government bureaucrats, the only reason they get a government job is because they can't hack it in the private sector.
Right.
You know, so you're just going to get the worst of the worst.
Yeah, you definitely don't want people cutting corners on this, but apparently that's probably what led to this, right? Bad maintenance.
And who's going to be held accountable? This is another problem I have with the whole, you know, I don't like incorporations because basically in a corporation...
There's no liability, right?
Takes the liability and moves it from the individual and spreads it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with Enron, nobody went to jail. All that money got lost. Now we have lives getting destroyed. and of course they're going to, you know, use this, you know, in a few years they'll be like, oh, all these people suddenly dying are now dying from, you know, this train wreck, you know, stuff. And
not the vaccine.
Yeah, not the vaccine. But yeah, this is and you know, like anywhere they want to make a train derail, it's not hard for you know, somebody to, you know, make a train derail somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they could just it's almost too easy to happen. And mm-hmm. you know, the railroad can't even keep people, you know, enough people on you know, on staff to drive the trains, never mind people that maintain the railroad tracks.
So they're having staffing issues.
Well, there's
too.
Been all kinds of things with all these railroad unions striking because they're making the guys work like, you know, crazy hours. And then when their time limit's up, they happen to be somewhere halfway across the country where they got to go sit in a hotel room, you know, not around their families for, you know, 72 hours. And then they have a restart and go back to work, kind of like truck drivers. And a lot of these, you know, union rail workers are really upset about it, and a lot of them just quit. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of people who quit, you know, working these jobs where you just get abused, they just feel so much better about themselves or doing something else. There's
sure.
better opportunities for
There's
people.
There's plenty of opportunities out there right now. Everyone's hiring.
Yeah.
You want a new job? You don't have to do much more than throw a rock. You'll find you'll hit 12 different businesses that are hiring.
Yeah, everybody's trying to hire. I mean, jobs are yep. easy to come across. Yeah.
All right, so speaking of the economy, we're going to get back into Nigeria, where there's a crazy situation that's in the midst of happening as we speak. People are rioting outside of banks. There's another video that I have of taken from the inside of a bank by one of the bank employees. She's looking out the window as people are at this gate. Gate's closed, the gate's locked, and they are trying to take this gate down. They're like throwing things. You see something hit the window that this lady's standing behind, and eventually they breach the gate and they come into the building and just start destroying things. People are pissed.
You know, I don't know why these guys don't show up with a cordless, you know, Makita or DeWalt cutoff angle grinder.
Far ahead.
I mean, for the way these things work, you got like 8 minutes of like you could grind through a lot of metal. You could open up any gate pretty quick. They shouldn't have to work that hard.
Well, in this one, there's another video here of these guys that are they're at some bank branch and they've got pipes, big long metal pipes, just smashing the front of this bank. They're just grabbing anything they can, you know. And how many of these people actually have equipment like angle grinders? You know, I can't say, right? Like these are some of the probably some of the poorest of poor people. Many of them maybe are looking for work and or can't work now due to various different economic circumstances, which they've been forced into by the government that has said they said this back in October that beginning in the middle of December. The old notes, so the old bank notes, the 200, 500, and 1,000 naira, naira being the Nigerian currency, would no longer be any good at the end of January. So you had basically a month and a half to turn in all your old notes and get the newly redesigned versions. Why is this? Well, it seems like they want to try to incentivize people to sign on with their central bank digital currency. Seems to be the motivation here behind the scenes. They claim that it's trying to stop counterfeiting and
they just want to track, trace, and database everyone.
Right.
And since
but they're openly saying that though.
Yes, they are. Yeah, we know that that's what the CBDC is for. That's not a secret. And most people aren't interested. The Nigerians have said no, basically to the CBDC. Only 0.5%. So you know, 0.5% of Nigerians have bothered to even try the CBDC and or are using it. But as a result, a lot of people are unbanked, 40% of the population. So they're telling the people that are unbanked, that don't want to have anything to do with the banks, that in order to continue to use cash, you will need to visit your local bank branch, probably have to show ID, right? Because they're not just going to hand you the new money.
Yeah, you're probably going to sign a statement swearing that you're a resident of whatever province, that you're a willing subject, a willing citizen of their nation.
Law enforcement's going to look it over, and then maybe you'll get some money. But the problem is they don't have enough of it. So you've got huge lines. You've got limitations on the amounts that people can exchange. So even if you're willing to wait in the line for hours, you may not be able to actually exchange all of the Naira that you have.
And let's say you have, like, you know, five duffel bags full of these old dollars to trade in.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to tax you? Are they going to limit you how much you can
withdraw? They're limiting you as to how much you can. Yeah.
You know, so you put a million notes in, they're only going to give you 10 back.
That's how it's working out. Yep, yeah, okay. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but, yeah, there's very restrictive limits, and that's why people are smashing the ATM machines because they can only take out so much per day.
Think about being that lady behind the wall at the bank, like, why did you go to work that day?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you go to work that day?
You might get lynched.
I would imagine. Right. And when she leaves, I would imagine she's going to her home.
There's a video, another one of these videos of the bank workers escaping over a fence or like a concrete wall at like the back, wherever it is. It's obviously not where the crowd is, right? So like they're going over a barbed wired concrete wall where they've pulled the barbed wire down. They've got a stepladder that they put up against the wall, and like the men from the bank are helping the bank tellers and the women go over this wall.
Wow.
To get out from whatever it was that was going on.
I can't imagine being brain dead enough to get. And you know, this is not just Nigeria. It's all over the world. Who would be brain dead enough to take certain jobs? Like, why would you get yourself into an industry where your job is to help the government screw people or be the government and screw people? Why would you ever?
I don't think most bank tellers see it that way.
But most bank tellers are definitely like cult member types. When I say cult, like city urban liberal types who, you know, I mean, they're I every time I'm at a bank, I always like talk about the Federal Reserve and how it's corrupt, and I like show them a gold back, and I'm like, you know, this used to be redeemable in silver. Silver is real money. It's defined by an act of 1846. Years ago I got like hundreds of these books called Trillions for the Bankers. Or it was Billions for the Bankers, Debt for the People, and then the updated book was Trillions for the Bankers, More Debts for the People. So you used to buy like a big case of these, you get like 500, and you get them for like, I don't know, 10 cents a piece, and you buy a whole bunch of them. And I used to pass them out at, you know, banks all the time. And a lot of time they'd be like, I'm just doing my job. I don't care.
Until they look out the window and the walls are on fire and there's people standing out there with AK-47s and trucks and all kinds of stuff trying to tear the walls off of the place.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like there's any guns in Nigeria, though.
No, there's guns.
There's a lot of guns in Nigeria.
Oh, yeah. There's another video.
There's an AK-47 on the Nigerian national flag.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. So they have a right to bear arms there?
I don't. You can get an AK for a couple chickens in Nigeria.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's like 250 million people or 230 or something million people in Nigeria.
Is that right? That's a big country.
It's huge. I mean, that's and it's like the population density is more than five times what it is here.
Yeah, because it's not a very big country geographically.
Yeah. If you want to join the show here, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. Are we going to see bank riots like this here in the U.S.? Well, I mean, we're not close to it yet, but then again, you never know how far away that we are.
And how to insulate yourself, I'd like to talk about next.
Okay, sure. That's coming up here on Free Talk Live, and you can join us.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden is addressing the nation about the recent shoot down of several unidentified high-altitude objects over the U.S. and Canada last weekend.
I gave the order to take down these three objects due to hazards to civilian commercial air traffic.
In his remarks, the president said they're likely related to commercial or research purposes. Former Vice President Mike Pence will fight a subpoena to testify before a grand jury investigating former President Trump's alleged attempt to overturn the 2020 election.
The Republican who's weighing a run for president called the subpoena unprecedented and unconstitutional.
No vice president in American history has ever been summoned into court to testify about the president with whom they served.
Special counsel Jack Smith subpoenaed Pence last week seeking information on Trump's potential role in the riot. Pence has vowed to take the case all the way to the Supreme Court. I'm Dave Collins.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. We got time for you. If you want to jump into the discussion here, you can. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's E&J and Matt joining you here tonight, talking about the difficulties that the people of Nigeria are facing. Many of them waiting for hours in lines at banks just to get a few pieces of the new currency that they have there, the Nigerian Naira, the 500,000 bills, which are the highest ones they have. By the way, 1,000 Naira is about just over $2 U.S., so that's their highest bill. They're exchanging those or attempting to exchange them, but there's not enough of them. So the government wants them to adopt the new central bank digital currency, but people don't want that. They're not interested, even though they're very tech adopting, as far as like a lot of them have smartphones. They're not interested in having the government's CBDC. They want cash. And so they're standing in lines that are hours long. They are, in many cases, just getting pissed and destroying the actual banks themselves, destroying the ATMs, destroying the frontages of some of these banks. Like, there was one clip that I saw today where there was, I mean, it was just completely ravaged. The ATMs were destroyed. The front sign was smashed in. The windows, I mean, you name it. The only thing that hadn't happened was it wasn't set on fire at that point.
Which is pretty surprising.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Some of them have been.
You know, it's a very dry place, too, I think. So okay. Maybe it'd probably be wise not to set that on fire.
So I'm just going to give you a few more examples of what's happening. This is according to the BBC. And I'll tell you what the president is going to do. The president is going to solve everything. But first, Aya Ruka, who's 52 years old, she sells plantains, this is according to the BBC, at a market in Lagos. She has had to adapt by accepting bank transfers because, again, there's not enough cash available. You don't want to take the old cash from people because then you just have to go stand in the line to try to exchange it, so it's not worth your time. But she says that hasn't helped her when she needs money. She says, all my customers are saying they don't have cash, so they'll pay me using a bank transfer. But then I go to the bank, and there's no cash for me to collect. So what do? She says. Further down the street, Kingsley, who only gave his first name, sells mobile phone accessories. The 27-year-old told me he has hardly sold anything in the last few days. He says people only pay by transfer. If I want to get home, I need to go to a point of sale to get money, and they charge a lot now. Point of sale vendors are individuals standing at street corners who have a card machine and can make transfers for people, but often charge a commission. So this sounds like what you were talking about earlier of, like, what's the black market like? Can you go and exchange the currency outside of a bank and just take a huge hit? And it sounds like you can.
Yep.
They've been accused of fleecing ordinary people by charging extortionate amounts for cash withdrawals. But if it saves you the 10 hours of having to stand
sounds
in
like
line.
A market price to me.
Yeah, exactly. One vendor who spoke on condition of anonymity defended the need to charge extra. He said, I queued for an entire day at a bank to get the new notes and old notes. That's why they must pay, because we queue, he says. That means stand in line. He runs a kiosk. She said that she's not sure how much longer, or she, will be able to keep up the business as the banks run dry. She said some customers can get angry and nearly violent. I just avoid looking up at them. They forget I'm suffering as well. Like now, I have to trek for an hour home, and I have only been eating gari, which are cassava flakes. CBN's governor has said he's taking, this is their central bank, steps to get more of the new notes into the system. Meanwhile, according to Yahoo News and also BBC, the president has stepped in. What's he going to do? Again, he's looking for re-election. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's out. They have two terms in Nigeria, so this guy's going out. There's a new election coming in within the next 2 weeks. But he has announced that he's going to save the country by letting one of the three banknotes being phased out reintroduced into circulation. So remember, they were getting rid of the old 200, 500, and 1,000 Naira banknotes. The 1,000's worth just over $2. The 200's worth like 40-something cents. So what's he going to do? He's going to let the 200 back in. So if you have the 500 and the 1,000, the old banknotes, sorry, you still can't use those. But if you have the 200, now he's going to be allowing those to be utilized for some amount of time. They'll be reintroduced because of the recent violent protests as people are struggling to get hold of the newly designed banknotes. The old deadline was supposed to have been last Friday to hand in the old cash, but there's not enough new notes in order to exchange people. So what happens if you don't make that deadline, by the way? Are you just SOL? If you haven't exchanged your banknotes for the new ones,
yeah, I would imagine
fire paper now, toilet paper.
He said the new note or the old notes, rather, the old 200 notes, which are worth approximately 43 cents U.S., would remain legal tender for another 60 days. So they've extended it for two more months. The people can still use the old 200 notes. If you have the 500 and the 1,000, then you can go and exchange them. And he blamed, quote, unscrupulous officials in the banking industry for the difficulties in implementing the new policy. So once again, pass the buck, right? Look, it's not my fault. I'm just the president of the country. I can allow you to use the old notes, but it's still not my fault, even though I could allow you to use all of the old notes.
Right.
You know, so it's just ridiculous what is happening there. Now, Jay, you wanted to get into what can people do to protect themselves from this, because it's easy to look at this and say, oh, yeah, that's Nigeria. It can't happen here.
So here's my thought, and this little spiel is going to be more geared towards, like, your kids. But if you're someone who is a valuable asset to the people around you because you have something that they desire, such as that can't be taken away from you, like a skill, I believe probably after even tied with, you know, who your friends are and who your alliances are, probably your most you know, valued asset is your skill set. And there's a lot of people who just don't have a skill set. There's a lot of people who are, their skill is in gender studies. Their skill is in, you know, they've dedicated their life to accounting, which, and accounting's a skill. There are people, you know, you get paid for, you know, doing accounting. But, like what's happened here in America with the education crisis and the college scam, as I like to refer to it, is everybody is sort of acting like an insect and only knows how to do one thing. They're just compartmentalized where their only skill is that they're a heart surgeon, but they, you know, couldn't change a tire on their car if they had a spare tire on their car to change it. Because new cars don't even have spare tires anymore. But anyways.
You know, somebody was talking about how in the old days, your owner's manual, your car had instructions on how to set the valves on that car.
How to adjust the valve.
Like, as a car owner, you should be expected to know how to do simple things like, you know, set the valves.
Yep. Well, a little digression from this. 200 years ago, every kid that was basically, you know, 7, 8 years old knew how to doctor a horse. They knew how to put a harness on a horse. They knew how to put the saddle on the horse correctly. They knew how to grease the wheels on their carriage or their wagon. They knew how to drive the wagon. They knew how to do the maintenance. They knew how to do all these things safely and properly, because if they didn't do it safely and properly, they didn't live, basically.
Right.
And, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, every kid that, you know, was of age to drive a car knew how to adjust valves, knew how to change spark plugs, knew how to change tires, knew how to change the timing, knew how to clean and adjust the points, for example. You know, fast forward to, you know, for 20 years now, people have had no idea how to drive a standard transmission, have had no idea how to change a tire. Today, a lot of millennials and, you know, Gen Zers or Gen Next or whoever, they don't even know how to cook food unless it is microwave instructions.
It's so sad.
From what I understand.
You know, this, I think I've actually read this quote on the show before, but I'm going to say it again because it's perfect and it's germane to the conversation right now. This is a Heinlein quote. You probably know exactly which quote this is, but a human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects.
Hmm. Right. Yes, I've heard that. So if you want to, you know, insulate your kids, for example, from being a victim, from being so desperate to where they must take a stick, a pipe, a gun, and go attack the bank because they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all that stuff is an absolute waste of time. If you're competent, which is, you know, being confident but being able to do it correctly is what competence is. If you have skills, if you're of value to your community and people look at you as someone who is valuable, first off, a guy who can fix anything, who can do electrical work, who can do plumbing, which is, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, most people in America could do that stuff. Every farmer I know can basically weld, can wire, can plumb, can, you know, cut a 2x4 squarely, can, you know, build stuff because they do it all the time. Their livelihood depends on it. All the Amish kids I know aren't gonna have any problems doing stuff when the economy collapses, when there's a run on the bank, because they're in demand. They make very good money because they have skills and can work hard, especially today where we have so many people who don't have very many skills, or they only have one skill and they're priced out of the marketplace either by foreigners or just everybody went to college for that same thing, or everybody went to college for these 15 things and the market's saturated in that. But if you can train your kids to have confidence, a love of responsibility. My 3-year-old daughter, it loves to go feed her ducks and chickens. We are on vacation every day. She's like, Dad, I want to go home and feed my ducks and chickens and my cows. Even my 17-month-old son, I go, we're going to go feed the cows. He goes, moo, and he points to his mouth and starts opening and closing his mouth, you know, mimicking, you know, that. He knows exactly, you know, what's going on.
And that kid will be able to operate the clutch on a 2-wheel motorcycle by the time he's 4, max.
Probably. anyways, but if you have skills and you're competent and your community is aware of this, your community is going to first off, be like, wow, we need to keep this guy around. When things get really hairy, they're going to like, we need to protect this guy. And even if, when times are good, you just can kind of name your price.
Mm.
So the guy that can fix any car over in Nigeria, and that, you know, he's probably like, all right, I'm only working for people who got the new bills.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to, you know, I'll give you a 50% discount if you got the new bills. Or, oh, you got Bitcoin, I'll give you this discount. I mean, this has been happening. We've been practicing this in New Hampshire for, you know, well over 10 years. I've been 20 years ago when I was selling hay, I actually put advertisements in the local lawn advertisers in Massachusetts where I would sell you a bale of hay for a pre-1964 quarter. One guy sold hay to for silver, and it was silver eagles that he had, and he was down on Cape Cod. And I sold him hay for years for silver eagles. And, but, you know, and then, like I've said before, I've, you know, when I was snow plowing in a city a couple years ago, I would, you know, give, like, a really good discount for crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would get, you know, and, or if you wanted to pay me, like, a check, I had to deal with that. I don't have a bank account. So,
yeah,
like,
that's a hassle.
I would charge double for a check. And and guys were like, okay. You
sure.
know,
whatever.
And,
what do I make it out to?
Right, right. Yeah. It was one of these deals where he wanted me to bill him every 30 days and then send me a check. So, and I'd be like, all right, you need to make it out to, and I would just tell him a company to make it out to that I did business with, and I would just send it to him, and, you know, and that bill's paid. but the thing is, you know, don't put your kids in government schools. Don't put them in front of internet devices. You need to take the time and read to your kids and teach your kids this stuff. I really think all kids should be raised in an orientation where they have a direct connection to their food. So, for example, we have gardens that we grow, and we invite city kids to come over to our house in the summertime. And you guys know these families that come over. We had a couple days a week where they come over and pick beans and pick weeds, and toddlers just basically massacre in the garden. But it's fun, you know, and that's how they're going to learn. You got to, you know, crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
Right.
And then these kids are picking eggs up, and like it's amazing when like 5-6-year-old kids are like, wow, that egg comes from a chicken's butt, you know, and they can't believe that. And it's just, and my daughter's like, yeah, that's where eggs come from, because she's been witnessing it her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have skills, you're always going to be in demand, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
and,
that's probably true.
And if people know you have those skills, they're going to want to, protect you, because whatever, you have for skills, there's going to be someone who needs that skill, as long as it's an actual real marketable skill, like fixing stuff. You know, being a MacGyver, for example, is just like, you know, a very,
so
very good skill.
Yeah, and there aren't very many of those people these days.
You know, I taught myself tonight, and it sucked, how to wire a headlight onto a motorcycle that didn't come with one. So, but now we have a dirt bike that's got a high beam, low beam turn signals and a horn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that because like I can do a lot of stuff. Like I'm a handyman too, but I've always stayed away from building stuff.
Yep.
Cause I cannot cut a 2x4 square and I can't cut it the right length no matter how many times I measure.
Yep.
And I also am petrified of electricity. I suck at anything with wires attached to it.
You could. When I started doing some carpentry, I used to roof for a guy. And he's like, yeah, you cut that board as crooked as a horse trader. And, you know, my dad was a horse trader. And but, like, you know, you want to cut a 2x4 with a skill saw really square, you use a little speed square where you hold the speed square and the 2x4 at the same time, and you just run the guide of the skill saw right against that speed square. You know what a speed square is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I cut a lot of boards, and I was like 22 years old, and I started using a speed square to make my cuts.
Jay, if I was to build anything, it would fall down within a year.
It'd
be a hazard to anyone who was inside of it.
I doubt that. Just the fact that you're willing to actually try it and do it, and as you were going about it, I'm sure you would realize, you know what you're doing.
You know, I bought a 20-volt circular saw recently.
Yep.
And, you know, it matches the rest of my set. I'm trying to get all the tools in that set from that one line of tools, and I loved it. But fortunately, it was defective, and I had to take it back and get my money back. So now I no longer have a circular saw because it can only go wrong.
Well, then you just use a chainsaw.
That's right. Now, chainsaws I could do. Chainsaw, I could fell trees.
Well, I mean, it certainly helps to have somebody under which you can apprentice, right?
It does.
I mean,
it does.
It's nice to be able to go online and look at YouTube videos. I mean, that is an asset that we have now for somebody that does want to learn and doesn't know who to go and learn from. Like, you know, they can't go to man camp or something like that.
They're unfortunate because everybody deserves man camp. Man camp is the best idea anybody's ever had, Jay.
That's Jay's idea, by the way.
Yeah, so man camp is my idea to restore competence and confidence in mankind. And simply, I mean, it just started as just teaching a bunch of young kids how to forge and blacksmith and weld. This year, man camp, my man campers were a bunch of adults this past year, and they were guys just that needed some guidance on, you know, fixing their own stuff, you know, turning their, you know, the guys buy a bus, turn it into an RV, and then they traded me some time for my time, helping me out on, you know, clear land for my farm, and, you know, I'm making pastures and gardens. And they learned, I taught a couple of guys how to weld this summer. We did a lot of welding up all kinds of stuff for, you know, farm equipment and harvesting equipment. And
Jay, can you TIG?
Yep.
Okay.
What is a TIG?
You got to teach me how to TIG.
Tungsten inert gas is what TIG stands for. And TIG welding is a process of welding that is the most meticulous, the most difficult welding. And it really teaches you how to weld. I learned how to TIG weld about 15 years ago. And you just got to be pretty disciplined about it. And it really helps to have some patience because you screw up a lot at first. I will tell you, though, TIG welding consumables have gotten extremely expensive. The cost of TIG weld aluminum, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, like, in, you know, the average was like $75 to $100 an hour. Now most guys are up around $200 an hour because the consumables are so expensive.
Well, I bought a really slick TIG welder, and I need somebody to show me how to use the thing.
Yeah, I can show you how to use it.
You have to do that after the show. Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, Colin, because Jay had said that he doesn't like corporations, and going back to a conversation I had with you a few days ago where the context of the conversation is that the government that we have is unlawful, and we need to get rid of them, obviously, if we can. And there's 100 different things that could and should be done, and one of them that I chose to mention was to stop buying from corporations when at all possible, if at all possible, in every way possible. And I want to ask Jay, since he also doesn't like corporations, and you cited Jay because they defer, they avoid responsibility of their personal actions hiding behind the corporation. But maybe Jay dislikes corporations in other ways, like I do, that I alluded to in our discussion previously. If you follow me on that, Jay.
Yeah, I do. So there's, like Ian says, not all corporations are like that. So, for example, like, there's local farmers that you're going to find that created an incorporation of some sort.
Because you can't get a bank account unless you...
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, and so this is all funneling you into this stuff. So when you take your farm and you convert it into a corporation, it's no longer a family private farm. It's now essentially an entity of the government. And now this corporation... So if the government comes to me and wants to give me a heart, say, I charge me with something, one of the first things I say is produce the instrument I sign that compels me, you know, to perform for you, and that compels me to your statutes, for example. And they can't. But if you are a LLC, they come against the LLC or the corporation, or if you're a, you know, if you were Joe Sixpack, you know, Farm Incorporated, which almost all these, you know, farms and, like, trucking is the biggest thing. Like, you know, John Doe Trucking Company. You see it on the side of trucks all the time. So they're John Doe Trucking LLC or Transport Incorporated or something like that. So now they're under the boot of the government and the IRS, and they're essentially taking these things. But yeah, stop supporting large corporations. Obviously, we got to buy gasoline from large corporations and things like that. But food, for example, people should be buying food from the guy who's producing it, which is really difficult because that means you're not getting everything done at one stop at the grocery store. In fact, you might have to do My wife, we buy milk from a guy. We buy bread from another local place. We buy, well, we don't really buy any meat because we raise all our own. But and the thing is, too, is this global food chain stuff that we have going on is so fragile, and it only works with major, major government subsidies. So like your $3.99, you know, your $30 for a 10-pound thing of hamburger at Walmart only exists because of the subsidy. When all that stuff stops, the only thing that's really going to be left is the local farmer, if all that stuff stops. I think it's – I really almost would like to see this CBDC instituted here in America to where, like, yeah, this is what you have to use, because it would really, you know, push agricultural black market a lot more, because you know, a lot of these, there's going to be so many people who are just going to, you know, I feel want to trade real things that have real things, like people who have meat to sell and food. But
yeah, unfortunately, the small farmers going the way of the dodo. A lot of agri business, like big agri, has bought tons and tons and tons of farms and just put them out of business and consolidated them into the gigantic. Yeah, and then there's the Bill Gates thing. He's just buying land.
Well, and the thing is, too, a lot of these, like my stepfather, who's a big commercial, you know, crop farmer in Colorado, he actually downsized a lot. Well, this year they just had, you know, virtually almost no water to work with in Colorado, northeast Colorado. Everything was super short. You know, he would usually do like 2,500 acres of corn, and I think he did like 900 and didn't really have quite enough water for 900. And in fact, fertilizer was so expensive that, like, he couldn't even, you know, get enough fertilizer to do all what you would usually put on.
Florida's not producing as much orange juice either.
Yeah, everything. And a lot of his labor, and you really can't subsidize his labor, is what we're seeing in the farming industry. For example, in the hay business, you know, it's taking 40-pound bales of hay and stacking them on trucks just doesn't really happen anymore, because there's very few people that will actually do that kind of work. And what you're seeing in the retail hay business now is small square bales are like, you know, $13 to $20 a bale.
And what were they?
Like $6 a bale retail, you know, 4 years ago, five years ago. And
that's all going to get factored into the price of food.
Right, right. And what it is now, it's all big, like big bales that are, everything's operated from the seat of a tractor. And, you know, you're using $200,000 balers and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. But to be resilient, you got to be able to take care of yourself, and you need skills.
There's more coming up tomorrow. We're out of time for tonight. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. I mentioned our social media earlier. You can find that at social.freetalklive.com. Make sure you follow the @FTL account for our show prep and whatever else we want to share. We'll see you tomorrow. freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family. family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.